Here's the reality. We often feel stuck, and when we feel stuck, what we fail to do is we fail to communicate. When you feel stuck with God, y'all probably never felt it before, but here's what it feels like. You come to church, and everybody in your row can be hands lifted, tears, and you ain't felt nothing. You're like, I don't know what y'all feeling. Y'all making this stuff up. When the preacher, I'm up here preaching, I don't even know if you think he read his Bible. Just all kind of stuff just come through your mind. The word of God doesn't make sense. When you feel stuck, you go to pray by yourself. Or I think Satan looked for Bible readers, and he makes them sleepy. And when people go to read your Bible, when you're stuck, the Bible don't make sense, and you go to sleep. When you're stuck in your relationship with God, people can give you all the encouraging words, all the I have a dream speeches, and you look at them like, yeah, right, and you go on and do what you're going to do because you're stuck. When you're stuck in your relationship with people, you don't feel it like you used to feel it. It's like, you know, what's up? It doesn't feel like it used to feel. You don't feel heard. You don't feel appreciated. You don't feel like you're understood. You don't feel like you're valued. You feel confined, and you feel like you are not producing. Does that sound like familiar feelings to anybody in here? In most cases, when people feel stuck, I have found this one common ingredient. In every case where people feel stuck, there is a disconnection in the relationship. That disconnection feels like, anybody ever been on the phone with somebody and in the middle of a good conversation, the signal goes out, cell phone, and y'all screaming at each other on the phone? And you getting mad because they screaming because you can't hear. Say it again. I'm tired. I'm saying it as loud as I can, the best I can. You going back and forth because you can't hear each other because you have no connection. You're saying good words. There's just no connection. And I think that's what many of us are in life. You have good. You have the goods are there. You have all the stuff, but there's no connection. This morning, I'm going to tell you how to get connected and how to get unstuck with your relationship with God and in your relationship with people. If you've been here for any length of time, I teach this model on relationships. And let me give you how this model works. You take a note. You can write this down, screenshot the projector there. But let me just show you the relationship model. And it's going to be the basis for getting unstuck. A relationship is this. It's the way in which two or more people or things are connected with each other that establishes how they fellowship with each other. All right? Fellowship is this. It's the way in which people or things in a relationship interact to produce benefits. Benefits are this. They are the result of healthy fellowship within the right relationship. Mom and Dad, can you guys come? You guys coming up here? Barbara, do you mind coming? Let me show you what a relationship looks like. Many of you do know, many of you don't. My wife goes to church here. She sits right here. I know a lot of pastors, their wife don't go to their church. I'm not really sure how to say about that, but. This is my mom and dad. They go to church here as well. Here's a relationship. The relationship established the boundaries by how I fellowship. This is mom and dad. I fellowship with them completely different than I do with Barbara. This is wife. There has to be a clear distinction in my life because she is not looking for their son. Mm-hmm. She is looking for her husband. So I have to disconnect from, I'm still their son, but when I am in this relationship, the benefits of a wife doesn't come to a son. It comes to a husband. The benefit of a son comes when I interact with them. They are mom and dad. I don't call them Wayne and Sheila or anything like that. I still call them mom and dad. No, seriously, because I don't need best friends. I got plenty of friends sitting out here. I got dudes I grew up with. We cool. I got plenty of friends. I need a mama and daddy. So in order to get the benefit of a mama and daddy, I got a fellowship with them as mom and dad. In order to get the benefit of a wife, I can't fellowship as a son. I got a fellowship as a husband. Their job was to raise a son to be a husband. So that when I came into a union with Barbara, here is the challenge in many relationships. We haven't made the transition because you still got little boys trying to marry grown women.
That's right.
The other way, yeah. And you got grown men marrying little spoiled girls that are still in their mom and daddy's house.
Right.
Y'all clap on that too. Y'all clapped on the other one. There are things that are in Barbara that I can get from no other woman in the world. Here's the challenge in many relationships, the disconnect. My mom and dad are a whole lot cooler than what I ever knew when I was a teenager. No, when I was a teenager, I just thought they liked to whip. They liked to just, punish people. as I got older, I found out there was so much wisdom. I pray for people who don't have this connection in their lives, who don't have a father, who don't have a mother, because there's so much loaded into that relationship that as a 41-year-old man, I still, as a husband, call my father and my mother. The relationship was different, but there's wisdom loaded in there. And I think if I can tell any teenager, any person in here, man, pull on your parents. The best thing to do is to honor your parents. Let me tell you something. I don't care if your parents are strung out on crack or they're alcoholics. Honor them. You ain't got to give them your wallet, but honor them as your mother and father.
That's right.
No, because that pulls on something inside of them. So that does that make sense? Relationship establishes how we interact. And when we interact, that's called fellowship. And when the fellowship happens, benefits happen. Let me ask you a question before I move forward. What's one of the first things that stops when we get upset in relationship?
Communication.
And when you stop fellowshipping, the benefit stops showing up. And when the benefit stops showing up, you start shopping somewhere else to get something from a place you don't need to get it from instead of going to the place that you should. Thank you, guys. Does that make sense? All right. So that's how they work. So I got a relationship with God as well. It's simple. I fellowship with God. They sing praise and worship. Monday, they ushered in the presence of God. I felt it. And there are benefits that happen. You can get healed in His presence. You can get delivered in His presence. You got to do it. It's simple, right? Well, here's what happens. When you are in the right relationships and you do things the right way, the right things flow, no matter how many wrong relationships, wrong ways, and wrong things you've experienced. And I'm not oblivious to the fact that I'm probably sitting in a room with a bunch of people, you've experienced some bad relationships, some wrong, you've just been wrong in relationships, and wrong things have shown up. But I want to tell you that the right thing is still available. Here's what God wants for all of us. He doesn't want us stuck in relationships. God wants us to have sticky relationships that come together that produce benefits. Somebody say, I got relationships. And they have benefits. Here is the challenge. The challenge is this. The reason many relationships are stuck and vulnerable for failure is not because they're bad relationships. Bad relationships, good relationships go bad every day. I'm going to say it again. Good relationships go bad every day. Because here's the challenge. God has blessed relationships. He's blessed the mother and father relationship. He's blessed the marriage relationship. And what God has blessed, Satan can't curse. Satan can't mess up. So because Satan doesn't, he can't mess up the relationship, what he attacks is the fellowship. Because you cannot sow disrespect and expect to receive honor. You can't treat me like an idiot and expect me to act like a genius. Can I put that in common terms? Even if I'm just wrong, I'm all the way out there. If you sow what's right into me, I guarantee you what's right will come out in the name of Jesus. Because every relationship is loaded with potential. So Satan fights the fellowship within that relationship so no benefits are produced. And watch this. Most people do not stay in a place where they feel stuck and there is no production. When you feel stuck, you start looking for a place to produce.
Yeah.
That's why we become extremely vulnerable when we are stuck, because you are looking for a place that you can be you, you can express yourself, and all these things start to come out of you. Does anybody know exactly what I'm talking about in here? As a result, this ain't even a word, as a result of this stuckness, most relationships are underworked and overstressed. How are relationships underworked? Because you're not working what's inside of that person. You're not working what's inside of that relationship. Here's the challenge. My parents could help me out a whole lot more than what I have allowed them in my life. I have lost scholarships. I've been almost kicked out of school. I had to get student loans on my own. And do you know when they found out about it? When I preached about it. Because I went through it by myself because I was so ashamed. Things were bad, but I made them worse than what they had to be because I didn't work what mama and daddy could do for me.
Same way in marriage. You can be going through a miserable time in life, and instead of expressing to the one who's connected to you, you post about it, you tell everybody else about it, instead of working that relationship, because the benefits are in the healthy relationships in your life. That makes sense in here? And Satan will have you trusting people who will tell you what you want to hear and shun the people to tell you the truth. Somebody tell you the truth. You a hater? You don't understand. You're trying to confine me. I'm not. No, they're not. No, some people are paranoid. You don't have haters. You just don't like to hear the truth. I've been there. I know exactly what it feels like. Why relationships? I'm sorry. I got a little on tangent. Why relationships over stress? I think that's four things. That probably a whole lot. Here's a reason why I think relationships are over stress. I think what needs to be said in a relationship is not said to the person that needs to hear it. You tell it to everybody else, but the person who needs to hear it. You know how many relationships I've seen that are so stressed out, and I was like, why don't you just tell him that? Why don't you just tell her that? You told everybody else, I can't fix it, they can fix it. Then here's the challenge. Not only do people not say to the people they need to hear, there's another problem. Sometimes what needs to be heard in a relationship is not heard by the person who needs to hear it. If I'm this bad, If I'm this bad, why are you the only person that thinks this way about me? It's going to be all right this morning. If this is going on in my life, why ain't nobody else said this to me but you? I'm going to tell you why. Because nobody else knows you the way they know you. Somebody take a deep breath in and take a deep breath out. Y'all about to pass out in here. It's like, Barbara knows stuff about me and the way I am that nobody in the world. Do you know why? Because I can trust her with it, and God knew that he can trust her with it because she still respects me as pastor, even though she knows my issues. All right? Let me tell you another reason why relationships are overstressed. Because people in relationships are fellowship according to two different standards. What one person is doing, the other person is not doing, and you're on two different paths trying to accomplish two different things, and you're stressing the thing out because you're not on the same page. The last thing, there's probably more reasons, but here's the last reason I'm going to give you. Relationships are overstressed because instead of encouraging people when they finally start to do right, we criticize them for the time they've done wrong, and they go back to that same trifling behavior. He can open up the door for you. It's about time. I hope the door hit you. Well, the good Lord split you. You know, I wasn't open it in the first place. Finally pick up your shoes. It's about time you pick up your shoes. Instead of, that's what I've been wanting. Your kid gets an A on the test. Now, this is what I'm talking about right here. Instead of just applauding that moment, you bring all those prior moments into the situation. Here's the thing, when a person finally gives you what you want, don't remind them of the time they didn't. Celebrate that moment. Go in a corner by yourself and just shout and say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and then you finally walk out that calm like nothing's ever happened. Celebrate it. Pull it in and say, by faith, I'm going to see more of these moments in Jesus' name. But you can ruin that moment by bringing up past behavior and stress out your situation by not celebrating a win in the moment. That makes sense in here? Let me give you my scripture of the basis for this morning so we can get unstuck. It's John 15:7. John 15:7 says this. And can I tell you somebody something in here? I'm not preaching to your emotions this morning. Because what I'm preaching to will work whether you feel it or not. It will work because, does your car start because you feel good? Your car starts because you got oil in the engine and gas in the tank and you put that key in the ignition. That's the way the word of God works. Praise don't work because I feel good. When I don't feel good, he's still good, so I praise him. Yeah. That's the way this thing works. John 15:7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. That's a good promise right there. And it will be done for you. The model that I gave you was in this scripture. If you abide in me, relationship. And my words abide in you, fellowship. I fellowship with God according to the standard that he put in the word.
I fellowship with people according to the word. There is a covenant that we've come into agreement with. And your job has a covenant. It's called your job description. It's called policies and procedures. And as long as you fellowship along those policies and procedures, you've got to get benefits. Benefits. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done unto you. That makes sense in here? If you're ever stuck in a relationship in your life, I'm about to give you three questions to ask yourself so that you can get unstuck. Are you ready for those three questions? All right, let me get where I'm going. The first question is this. Can this person or thing produce the benefits that I'm looking for? A lot of us have an expectation on a situation that will never produce what we want. I can go to Isaiah, and I can be having a worst day of my life. And I can say, Isaiah, you're not going to believe this. I'm trying to figure this out with church, and I got to take care of this, and I take care of that. You know what Isaiah's going to say? Hey, Daddy, I got some Skittles. You want to play PlayStation? For a few moments, Skittles and PlayStation may solve it, but loaded into Isaiah is not the benefit to help me fix my situation. I got to ask myself, can this thing or this person produce what I'm looking for? Here's what I found out. God can produce everything I'm in relationship for. That's why I'm saved. That's why I love him. That's why I fellowship with him, because he can produce. Question, you know why I married her? Because she can produce everything that I need as a husband. Do you know why she married me? Because I can produce everything she needs as a wife. Here would be the problem. If I was still that little son running around their house, I couldn't produce it. She would be forever frustrated, getting just talking to y'all like he trifling. I'm up here preaching. Y'all saying he good. She's just sitting up there filing her toenails, painting her nails in church because I could not have the ability to produce it. You got to ask yourself, if they can produce it, the answer is, yes, I'm going to abide. Here's an example of getting benefits without the proper relationship from a person who couldn't produce. When we were growing up in Shelbyville, there was this guy who worked at this BMW dealership. And on the weekends, he would show up with BMWs. And he'd cut the music up. He'd ride it through the city. He'd have people riding with him. Everybody was impressed the fact that he had a BMW. But it was a different one every weekend. Well, a couple of months went by, and this dude got fired. He was the maintenance man who auto-detailed the BMWs. And what he did was he abused his benefits, walked in the dealership, grabbed him a car, and instead of turning it back in, every weekend he rode a BMW to Shelbyville and was at the, we shot ball every Sunday at the park. He at the park, windows down, CD, I mean, he had CD tapes or whatever back then, rocking his music. They fired him because watch this. He was taking illegal benefits based on his relationship. In many of our lives, you are letting people get benefits in your life who are not in valid relationships with you. You are letting people dictate how you feel about yourself. You are letting people take things from you that have no business taking things from you. Because if you're going to get a benefit from me, you got to be in a relationship with me. And in order for the benefit to show up, you got to establish the relationship first, because you are setting yourself up for heartache and failure if you give benefits without boundaries. That's what relationships are. Here's the next question. After I ask myself, can you give me what I'm looking for? If the person or the thing can produce what I need, why isn't it? If I can be a great husband to her, why am I acting trifling? Why am I not giving to her what I should? If I can be a great pastor, why am I not? Here's the reason why many people don't fix this problem. It's the fellowship problem. My words abide in you. It's because this. Many people mistake fellowship problems for relationship problems. Here's a challenge. Anybody ever said, I want a better relationship with God? Anybody ever said that? Raise your hand if you ever said that before. Y'all ain't going to raise your hand on this. Just look straight ahead. Anybody ever said, I want a better marriage? Here's the reality. I got saved, really saved, at the age of 16 years old at an apartment complex at a basketball court. And I told God, yes, I'm serious. I led myself through the sinner's prayer because I was so serious, because I knew he'd call me to preach or lead or do something. I laid hands on myself, and I was out there crying, shooting basketball. And I got saved. I walked home. My parents didn't know, with a glow that night. Boy, I was skipping all over that court. I got saved. Do you know that I'm no more saved at 41 than I was at 16? I'm just as saved now as I was. I've made a lot of mistakes since then. But I'm no more or no less saved now than I was then, because a relationship is what it is. We got married December 6, 2003. If I say I want a better marriage, my marriage can get no better than what it is. I'm just as married now as I was when I first got married. What I'm saying is this. I'm not seeing the benefits of this relationship because I'm not fellowshipping properly.
And if I don't fellowship properly with God, when people say I want a better relationship with God, what they're saying is, I don't think he's hearing my prayers. I'm not seeing breakthrough in my life. That has nothing to do with whether or not you're saved. That has everything to do with whether or not you're fellowshipping with God, you're in faith with God, and pulling from God everything he needs. I'm not getting everything from my wife that she needs. That has nothing to do with your marriage. That has everything to do with whether or not she's willing to give you what you need and whether or not you're willing to pull from her what you need. It's called fellowship. Y'all right in here? It's called fellowship. What happens is when fellowship goes wrong, we get silent. And silence creates distance. And when you try to re-engage when there's distance, it feels weird. And you mistake that weirdness as something is wrong with your relationship. I feel weird with God now, so maybe I'm not saved, or maybe he's not the God that I thought he was. I feel weird with her now, so maybe she isn't the person I should have married. Maybe I made a mistake. And whenever those thoughts start, I'm telling you, start to enter into your mind, Satan will crucify them in your mind. Everything they do, I can see her walk in church and she speak to everybody but me. How you gonna respect everybody and walk right by me and not say nothing? And she come home and I'm mad and she have no idea why. Because you know what happens when we get frustrated and stuck in relationship. The one you're supposed to talk to, you don't talk to. I'm gonna talk to this side right here. So you tell everybody but the person that can fix it. And you expect it to be fixed. And then get mad at God like you ain't answered my prayer. Now, you got another set of challenges if you tell the person and they choose not to fix it. That's another issue. But here's the question you ask. Is there a connection in this relationship that's not producing what it is that I want? I got to choose to buy into a system that works. Relationship, fellowship, benefits. And I'm going to invest. Watch this. And here's the last point on this. I'm not just going to invest my ideas, because Barbara and I can dream together all day long. We already done got our next house built. We done got our next life built. I can do great things for her. I know what it is. I know her cologne. I got a list of things. She don't even realize it. I know her favorite color, her favorite perfume. I watch it. I know her favorite, all these things. And then certain times, I can take her to a certain restaurant, and I can buy certain things. Those are actions. But you know what really brings the connection to my relationship? When I put my heart into it. And I trust her, and she trusts me. Because here's the challenge. Some of us want people to trust us, but we don't trust nobody. Are y'all right in here? So I got to ask, is this thing producing, or can it produce? And if it isn't producing, why isn't it producing? And it could be a fellowship problem that I need to learn how to fellowship appropriately with the person that I'm connected to. The last thing, and I'm finished. Well, y'all real quiet on me this morning. I'm not sure where to stop or just. All right. Here's the thing. The last question, I gave you guys bracelets when you walked in. You can wear it if you want. I like these as reminders. Trust the process. The process works. Relationship, fellowship, benefits. I guarantee you, in any relationship in your life, if you tell me you're stuck, I'm going to ask you, are you fellowshipping? And you're going to say no. If a married, can I keep it 100? If I can ask a married couple, hey, how's you guys doing? How's you guys' relationship doing? And they're not doing good. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you guys date? No. How's your intimate life? It ain't. Do you guys talk? No. Well, if you don't fellowship, you're not going to see any benefits. And here's what you're going to say. I don't feel like it. The feeling you're looking for is not going to come until you take a step of faith in the right direction. The way God works, I don't always feel like, I feel like preaching every Sunday, but I don't always feel like praising God. I don't always feel like praying, but when I do, it works. Y'all all right in here? That's trusting the process. You don't have to feel it to forgive. You don't have to feel it to talk. You don't have to feel it to pray. You don't have to feel it to praise. You have to do it. And that's where the benefits show up, because I trust it and I can ask what I will and it will be done to me. Because asking is a process. I ask according to what's in my heart. Some of you, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I can look in your eyes. Your heart is sick. Because there's so many, you're not a sick person, your heart is sick. Your heart is upset like an upset stomach, because you got so many desires. You have so many things you want. You have so many things you desire in life, but because they're not being fulfilled, you're a frustrated person. And one of the most frustrated people to ever interact with is a heart sick person who's got dreams, goals, and desires that are not coming forth in life. I want to encourage you to express your heart in your relationship. Trust the process and watch the benefits of God show up in every part of your life. How do I know this? Because it works. One of the scariest and most vulnerable moments in my life was after my brother and sister passed, and it was a couple years, and the Holy Spirit, I was riding down the road, and he said, Jason, you have left your wife vulnerable and uncovered. And that's why you feel the way you feel. So what are you talking about? He said, you have checked out emotionally. I loved her. I love her with everything I got in me. But because I was just going through and I was so consumed with, am I going to die? Am I going to be the one that dies next? And I was so consumed with the weight of the world that I neglected. I was there, but I wasn't emotionally there. I wasn't mentally there. And when you're not there, I left her. This is me speaking. I left her uncovered. It was my responsibility to take my burdens to God. You help me work through this stuff. She's going to be there for me, but I still got to be a husband. And it's more than just having sex. It's more than just interacting. It's like it's being there, pushing her. That's why you hear me. I think I got the best wife in the world. Every husband, I don't think that way. I'll tell everybody what she's doing. I think she's smart. She's kind. She's intelligent. All that stuff like that because I'm in her corner. Because I trust the process. And I told God after he told me that, I'll never check out again. I'm going to be in the moment. Because what I'm looking for is not in anything else. It's in her. What I'm looking for from God is in no other source. I brought my mom and dad up here, and I brought her up here. I can't pull the fulfillment or the confidence affirmation I need from mom and dad once I got married that I needed from her. Mom and daddy, man, I can have one shoe on and raggedy blue jeans and just ain't got no job. Mama would sneak me in the back door, give me $100, say, gonna be all right, Jason. I go home to Barbara, you need to get your stuff together. I don't know what's wrong with you. Naturally, where do you think I'm gonna go? I'm going to mama. But when I trust the process, I find that other shoe, get them jeans clean, get my stuff together, and I go man up. Because I trust the process. I'm gonna challenge you this week. Here's my challenge for you this week. Not because you feel it, but because it works. I want you to do a daily devotion. I don't care if you feel like praising God or what. I want you to find you one scripture. Go to Proverbs, find something. Every morning, I just want you to get up, read your scripture, and I want you to pray. I want you to praise God, and I want you to worship. Some of you don't, you've never praised God. But just walk around your house by yourself. Father, I thank you. Clap your hands, say, God, I bless you. God, I magnify you. I really don't even feel this right now. I'm not really this type. I'm not asking how you feel. Praise is right. I praise you for the things you've done. I worship you for who you are. Something happens when you lift your hands. If I was going to rob you, what am I going to tell you to do? Stick them up. When I lift my hands, it's a sign of surrender. Lift your hands to God and say, God, I surrender my life to you. And you pray. God, whatever you want to do through me this day, do it. Read your scripture every day. Do it. I want to challenge you to communicate. If you are married, I want you to spend 10 minutes. I know it's a full day, 24 hours. Take you 10 uninterrupted minutes. Sit across from your spouse, and it may seem weird at first. Don't talk about bills. Don't talk about kids. Just talk about each other. You look nice today. Tell me about your day. What stressed you out today? What do you want to do? And it's going to lead to so much more stuff because here's what happened. Many of us are stuck because you got all this stuff inside of you. Your spouse probably has no idea the stuff you're dealing with. If you're not married, find you a friend. Say, listen. Go to Chili's. You ain't got to go to Happy Hour. Just go to Chili's and get some chip water. Or something. I'm just playing. Go to a park and sit in a bench. It ain't gonna rain half the week. Find somewhere and talk to somebody. You know what I'm trying. Just find somebody to talk to, and give them 10 minutes. No, and just say, listen, I need 10 minutes of your time and talk. Just say what's on your heart. Just be honest and say, I feel fat today. You thinking it? You done got mad at your spouse because you asked them how his clothes look and you think they thinking it. Just say it. I'm scared today. Or I'm very angry today. Or, man, I feel wonderful today. Express how you feel. Communicate. Then I want you to give. I want you, if you don't tithe, I want to challenge you. Say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to tithe next week. Or go to a restaurant and tip somebody generously, even if they're a bad server. Do you know if you sow a good tip into a bad moment, you can turn that situation around? Do you know why your server stays away from your table? They know when they mess it up. And you know why they are sitting there defensive with you? Because they know they're messing up. Show them a good tip. And when you do that, you sow love into the life. Man, go bless somebody tremendously. Let somebody, hear somebody like something. Somebody may say, I love that bunk cake place. I would love a lemon one with that little icing. Just have it show up at their desk.
You know your husband, he likes certain things, and when he gets home, make sure you're just sitting right there. You know your wife likes certain things, just, man, give. When you give, it's fellowshipping, and it's opening up benefits that you never imagined. You may not reap where you sow, but you're going to reap it somewhere. I'm going to sow into Isaiah this week. I'm going to give him something. I ain't expecting him to give it back to me. He may not even say thank you, but I'm not expecting it back from him. I'm expecting it back from him. Give this week. Here's what else I want you to do. It's the biggest thing. I want you, all of us have this probably one or two things in our heart that we want God to do and a barrier in our life. Matthew 18 says, in that chapter, it says, where two or three touches agreeing, I'm in the midst. And you can ask anything of the Father and it shall be done. Find you one or two people this week. If you're married, you got a built-in benefit. Find you a best friend or find you somebody who can pray and say, this week, this is what we're going to pray. This is what I'm believing God for. I'm believing God for this help on my job. I'm believing God for something in my health. Whatever it is, and every day, it's not about feelings. It's about praying it. Said, Father, you said, where two or three touches agreeing, you're there in the midst. So I'm believing you for a big open door this week. And just pray that same prayer every day. When you fellowship within proper relationships, the benefits are going to show up. Y'all think I'm playing? Try it. And you will be surprised the things that show up in your life.